Listening Library presents Ready or Not, Number 1 by Megan E. Bryant. Read for you by Emily Iden. For Clara, who helped me remember and inspired this book, I love you. Chapter 1. At Zoe's house, there weren't a lot of rules, except bigger is better and brighter is best. So when Zoe invited me over to decorate cupcakes, I knew it was going to be incredible. Beyond incredible, even. Astounding. There were like 100 vanilla and strawberry swirl cupcakes. And the toppings? You would not believe. Sprinkles all mixed up in a rainbow jumble. Sparkly sugar in every color. Tiny, shiny gold stars, candy confetti, shimmery sugar pearls, a bowl of rock candy glinting like jewels. And there were bags of frosting and a bunch of pointed metal tips for piping flowers and leaves and squiggles. Zoe looked up from a piece of waxed paper covered with frosting doodles. "Abby, check it out," she said. "I've been practicing." "Cool," I replied. Zoe is my cousin and my best friend forever, and not necessarily in that order. She's awesome in all the best ways, smart and fun and silly and nice. Together, we are A to Z and everything in between. "How do you use this thing anyway?" I asked, grabbing a pastry bag filled with sky blue frosting. I tried holding it like a pencil. Drawing is my thing. It's what I do better than anything else. But I could tell right away that the pastry bag was not going to work like one of my art supplies. "Here, I'll show you," Zoe said, sounding important. Teaching me stuff was probably her thing, after gymnastics and mythology and baking, and I didn't mind one bit. She was only a year older than me, but somehow Zoe knew way more about almost everything. Take decorating cupcakes. From leaves to rose petals to swirly whirls, Zoe's designs were just right. And after a little practice, mine weren't too bad. We decorated every single one of those cupcakes with loopy swoops of buttercream frosting and then covered them in sparkly, sugary toppings. Zoe got one of those secret-y smiles on her face, the kind that made me sit up a little straighter, knowing she was about to do something surprising. "Check this out," she said as she dabbed a dollop of frosting on each one of her perfectly polished fingernails. Then she stuck her hands into the sprinkles. "Zoe!" I screeched. "Shh!" she shushed me. Then she held up her hands. The sprinkles had stuck to the frosting on her nails like a confetti manicure. "Ta-da!" Zoe announced, wiggling her fingers at me. A couple sprinkles fell off and bounced around the tablecloth, but Zoe didn't care. "Wow," I said, impressed like always. Zoe popped her index finger into her mouth. "Yum," she said. "Your turn." I picked up the bag and squeezed some of the frosting onto my nails. It wasn't as easy as Zoe made it look, but she cheered me on until I had a sprinkles manicure too. By the end of it, we were laughing so hard that sprinkles were springing everywhere, and I just knew we'd have to get out the vacuum to clean up the mess, but I didn't even care. Everything was perfect. Well, almost perfect. The only thing in the whole wide world that could have made it truly perfect was if we didn't need the cupcakes at all. Because those cupcakes were for Zoe's goodbye party. Zoe and her family were moving all the way from North Carolina to California, and I couldn't begin to imagine what life was going to be like without her. Later that day, I spent most of Zoe's goodbye party staring at her shoes. They were basically the best shoes ever, rainbow, streaked with glitter slip-ons. Half sneaker, half party shoe, they would go with anything. I could wear them anywhere. If they were mine, I mean, and not Zoe's. Plus, they twinkled and sparkled whenever she moved, so you couldn't not look at them. That wasn't the real reason why I couldn't stop staring at those amazing shoes, though. To be totally honest, it was easier to look down than up. Looking up meant seeing Zoe's face and missing it already, even though she was sitting right next to me. Looking up meant people might see the tears that kept sneaking into my eyes. I didn't want to be mad at Uncle Craig about his new job, but if he'd found a job here in North Carolina instead of California, none of this would be happening. Goodbye parties, I decided, were dumber than dumb. They just didn't make sense. Parties are supposed to be happy times, and goodbyes are sad. Unless you are saying goodbye to the flu or the last bite of kale salad on your plate. Then Aunt Rachel appeared. She was carrying a small box wrapped in gold paper. "We were going to give this to you later, Zoe," Aunt Rachel began. "But since everyone is here now..." Zoe's glittery purple nails flashed as she slowly peeled the tape off the present. At last, the paper slipped off and fluttered to the ground. Zoe gasped. I gasped. Everybody gasped. Inside the box was a phone. A cell phone. Zoe's first cell phone. "Mom!" Zoe shrieked. "Seriously? Are you serious?" "So serious," Aunt Rachel said, beaming. "We want you to stay in touch with all your friends after the move. And since just about everybody is here, you can get their contact information."
"I've already downloaded a bunch of apps," Uncle Craig said. "Messaging apps and photo apps and research apps and, yes, games."
"Thank you," Zoe was saying, but now she was the one who wouldn't look up. I couldn't blame her. The glow from Zoe's new phone lit up her whole face. All around me, Zoe's friends from gymnastics were getting out their phones. At the same time, bing, zzz, dee-dee-dee, woof. Everyone laughed as their phones beeped and buzzed and woofed. I guess they were texting each other or something. If I had a phone, I could sit with them and text and laugh too. Suddenly, I realized I was the only one who didn't have a phone. Nobody seemed to notice that fact, so I figured nobody would notice if I slipped away from the group. And I was right. They didn't. There was a table by the front door where everyone had put little presents for Zoe. My present was a stationery set, which is fancy paper for writing letters. The purple paper had purple flamingos on it because flamingos are our favorite, thanks to Mrs. Flamingo. That's not her real name. At least, I don't think it is. But it's what we call her because she has a flock of plastic flamingos in her front yard that she dresses up every holiday. Mrs. Flamingo doesn't know it, but her flamingos are the whole reason I got really into art. Back when I was in second grade, I wanted to draw her flamingos. But every time I tried, they looked like pink potatoes with legs. Mom signed me up for art classes, and in less than a year, I was good enough at drawing that my flamingo picture won third prize at the county fair. Anyway, I just knew that whenever Zoe used her new stationery, she'd think of me and remember all the laughs we had about Mrs. Flamingo's flock. The best part, though, was that I had matching stationery at my house, blue paper with blue flamingos on it. It was going to be so great, because Zoe and I could write each other letters on our flamingo paper, and those flamingos would fly back and forth across the country, landing in our mailboxes. I walked into the dining room, and that's when I saw trouble. My brother Max had also wandered away from the party. This was a big problem, because he was only 4 years old. And it was an even bigger problem because Aunt Rachel had left those fancy cupcake displays pretty close to the edge of the dining room table. Max, of course, had found them. He'd climbed one of the chairs and was leaning so far forward onto the table that he was practically lying on it. And he was doing something with the cupcakes. Not just something, he was messing with them. He was messing with Zoe's special goodbye party cupcakes. "Max!" I said.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?